I'm part of a month-long tour of trying to get people to realise that spending £100 billion on Trident is an absolute mistake, a disaster. We should be spending on people, things that real people need.
You talk about Trident, and I'm sure lots of people don't actually know what plans for missile systems and the defence of this country is. Without being too biased, can you just put what the plans are in a nutshell?
Well, it's to replace the present four Trident submarines, which carry American missiles on, not our missiles, around the world, to replace them because they're now 15 years out of date or something, and spend all this money on them. It means building them in Barrow, getting the missiles from America, so that Britain remains a nuclear power for another 35 years.
And why shouldn't we do that?
Why shouldn't we do it? A, it's a lot of money that we could spend on health service, education, all this. And secondly, because it encourages other countries to say, well, Britain can have nuclear weapons. Can't we have nuclear weapons? We should, at the moment, we should be negotiating the abolition of all nuclear weapons. That's what we should be doing.
That's not going to happen, though, is it? Because it is not in human nature to be the first to stand down. And even if we stood down, some crazy guy in North Korea is not going to say, oh, well, Great Britain's got rid of its nuclear missiles, I'll get rid of mine.
Well, I hate to correct you, but that's what I'm here for, really. I mean, South Africa had nuclear missiles. Two of the Soviet republics had nuclear weapons and got rid of them. It is perfectly possible. And we don't have landmines. We've given up working on landmines. We don't have a camel corps. We don't have battleships. There are lots of things that don't add to our security that we've got rid of. And why not?
Do you feel that people feel passionate about this these days? I mean, I'm just thinking back to the glory days of the Aldermaston marches, which I think is what a lot of people still associate your name and the name of other people with. And it was people with fire in their bellies. We are very complacent these days, aren't we, by comparison?
I think it's worse than complacent. I think we've become a sense of impotence. There's nothing we can do. The number of people in town squares saying, oh, don't bother, there's nothing we can do about it. The sense of political power has disappeared from many, many people. And I think that's a real disaster.
Why has that happened?
Well, I think because many politicians, the Labour Party in particular, have changed their policies according to the mood of the moment. So you elect someone who thinks this and who turns out to think that. And I think people are just fed up with it. But when on passionate, when you get to the £100 billion, then they are passionate. When they see that they've got a bedroom tax or the local A&E is closing down, then they get passionate.
So is that how you make the point then? You draw the comparison between the cost of replacing Trident and you compare it to the cutbacks that we're seeing in the welfare and benefits system?
Exactly. That is the key at the moment. I mean, I think the main issue is a moral issue. Are you willing to fire nuclear weapons that destroy hundreds of thousands of innocent people? That's the moral issue. It hasn't cut a lot of ice over the years. But this one, the money, that cuts a lot of ice straight away.
What sort of response are you getting?
Most people in market squares, 50% will walk past you, but the others will come and they're interested. I think I've met two people in the last 2 weeks who actually want Trident. The rest are all against it and want to spend on something else.
One of the first duties of a government is to defend the nation. I mean, it is absolutely up there within the top two or three priorities. It's going to be very difficult to convince many politicians to stand back from what is seen as our main front line of defence.
That is what has been told. That's what people have been told for years. Main defence didn't help the Americans in Vietnam, didn't help the Soviets in Afghanistan, didn't help the French in Algeria, didn't stop the Argentinians attacking us. It's an illusion that nuclear weapons are actually a defence. They aren't a defence. They're weapons of mutual suicide. And when people get that idea in their heads, it changes.
Well, I mean, the expression that I remember was MAD, and that was mutually assured destruction.
That's right.
And that was the point, wasn't it? It maintained, albeit a crazy and expensive, but it maintained a balance on both sides.
Well, both sides. Now we've got 9 countries with nuclear weapons. We'll soon have 30 countries with nuclear weapons. And, of course, none of this answers the point about accidents. We've had endless accidents. Only 4 years ago, a British and French submarine hit head-on in the middle of the Atlantic with nuclear weapons on board, and that didn't get any press coverage, but it was a serious accident. And we've had misunderstandings. There's a chap in, I think, Save the World in 1983, a man called Petrov, who did not tell them in Moscow what he was looking at, which was a nuclear attack from the west to the east. Actually, it turned out to be an atmospheric condition. But he thought it was a real missile attack. So it's a high-wire act. Nuclear weapons are not neutral. They're very dangerous all the time.
How does a person of faith come at this issue? You're formerly a Roman Catholic priest.
Yeah.
How does a person come at this from a religious point of view?
Well, because I just think it's... I think God means this world to be run in a humane and decent and loving and justice way. And I think nuclear weapons violate all that. To spend this sort of money on alleged security when people are actually starving around the world, that, I think, is a matter of faith for me.
Can we speak about something else that's in the news at the moment? You walked straight into this studio and you honed in on a copy of the paper that's left over from a day or two ago with a picture of Margaret Thatcher on the front. What were your thoughts about Mrs. Thatcher? Because she was a force, but some say she was a force for good, some say she was a force for bad.
Well, I don't want to say anything unpleasant about Mrs. Thatcher. I mean, I know the family are grieving, and well, that's fair enough. I understand that. I think that she divided this country, and I think she divided the world because she really pursued the idea of the Cold War nonstop, and I think that was a very bad legacy to give to the world.
What will you be thinking on the day of her funeral?
Well, I hope I say a prayer for her. I hope she gets on well in the next world. I'm sure she'll. I hope for that's true for all of us. But I surely will not be involved at all. I think it's what we're seeing now is a kind of party political performance. It's even called the Operation True Blue. It's a kind of conservative operation to boost an illusion of her history. You go to the miners up in Yorkshire or whatever, and their wives, they'll give you some language which I wouldn't want to repeat about Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah, obviously there are those who say that she did a lot to harm communities, particularly here in the north, particularly in heavy industry. There are those who said she did some very good things. She controlled the power of the trade unions, for example, and she fought for Britain's place in the world. She made sure that we were there, a force to be reckoned with.
Well, I think you don't get to be a force to be reckoned with by having nuclear weapons. I think Sweden is more of a force to be reckoned with than Britain. Switzerland is more of a force. Mandela in South Africa is more of a force to be reckoned with than posturing as if we were an empire still, and we aren't. We're quite as average to small country, and you get reputations for justice and fair dealing, and that's a real prestige.
It's being estimated that at the moment her funeral will cost about £10 million.
I think it should be spent on the National Health Service. If she's a multimillionaire. She's leaving a vast sum of money to her family. They're perfectly capable of paying for any sort of funeral they want. I don't see why it should have anything to do with the British taxpayer.
Can we come back to where we started, talking about CND and the campaign for nuclear disarmament and the message that you're taking on this national tour? You're a gentleman of certain years, if I might say. I think you're
83.
83, so you are a year younger than my dad. I don't know whether my dad would be embarking on a national tour. What sort of toll does it take on you?
Nothing. I'm really quite fit, and I'm determined to go on, and I'm quite passionate about the cause. I think it's a really stupid thing to be doing, spending all this money. And to me, 83, I'm 83. I don't know what it'll be like when I'm 93. Perhaps I'll be dead. I don't know. But while I've got fresh air in my lungs and energy, and I can sleep at night, and I've got a wife who puts up with me being away for several nights a week, I can get on with it.
Do you remember the first moment that you thought, hang on a minute, this is not right. We should not be having these weapons that could kill so many people.
I remember almost exactly, because I read something by an old archbishop, Jesuit Thomas Roberts, and he said, if it's wicked to murder 100,000 innocent people, it's wicked under any circumstances to be willing to do it. And I thought, oh yeah, you're right. And nuclear deterrence rests on the willingness to do absolutely abominable crimes, firing nuclear weapons. And I thought, yeah, you're right, deterrence requires that. So I began to get interested then, purely from a moral point of view. I didn't know one political party from another at that time, I don't think. In fact, my first collision with CND was when in 1958, when they started, and they were marching past my church in London, and none of my brides could get into the church. All the taxis were held up. And I thought, who are these bees who are really wrecking my weekend? But I came in slowly. I wasn't on the first Aldermaston march.
Will you stay campaigning on this till your last breath?
I hope so, yes, until I'm taken away to a funny farm or somewhere. But I hope not to be. As long as I've got wind and brains, I'll go on campaigning.